of men and public prayer by men beyond, if you will, the pastoral team or whatever. God expects and desires the men to be spiritual leaders, not just in a church setting. A lot of people say, well, this is what you do when you meet for church, but there's a lot more to it than that. They're men, they lead because they're men, not just because they're in a church service and happen to be men. Then Paul shifts gears. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and again, there's six major areas that he addresses just in this chapter alone. It's not all of the areas that he addresses in 1 Timothy 2. But he jumps to verse 9 now. He talks about men specifically, adult men. Then look at verse 9. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. As has been the case often in my lifetime, I guess, I've seen a huge transition in how this passage is approached. The fact that it's approached at all has diminished greatly. That people talk about modesty at all is a rare course. But also they've gone to saying, well, it just has to do with jewelry. You see it says gold and costly array, but they obviously haven't looked closely at the words, or they wouldn't relegate it simply to what you wear, you know, whether you have 4-foot earrings or not hanging from your ears, because it isn't just talking about that, though that would fit in here as well. But let me just start out here. And like I said, I broke it down to what, 9 lines. I almost gave you no notes this morning. I'm like, what? I would have an absolute rebellion here, at least without a blank piece of paper. So I thought I'll give you this first here, just to work it. But it says, in like manner also that the women, and the word women here, it's just the word for female. It can be also translated wives in the right context. Just like the men can be translated husbands in the right context. But it's just the word women. And in fact, you get the first part of gynecology out of that. Gune is the word for a female. And a gynecologist is a doctor for females, okay? So it's just the word for female. But likewise, in the same way that men are supposed to be men and lead, which, by the way, even though that's what we're supposed to do, that's not our tendency. Our tendency is to play and let other people lead for us. Our tendency is to get over-involved in our tasks and details and let somebody else lead. And we also wrestle with anger or wrath, blowing up, if you will, and also arguing. Okay, well, it shifts gears in the same way that men are supposed to be men, leading as they ought, praying as those leaders with a holy lifestyle. He shifts gears to the women, and it says, likewise, women. And the word order is quite a bit different in the Greek here. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves. And the word adorn themselves is toward the end of the first line there. But the word adorn and the word for moderation come from the same word. So you might want to circle those on your paper. The word adorn and the word moderation. Does everyone have notes? Because I'm referring to... right below number 4, Marv, there's that verse, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves. See the word adorn there? Right under number 4. You see that? And then right at the end of that same line is moderation. Right in verse 9 there. And I'm showing it on your paper so you can mark your paper. I like to mark my Bible, but I don't like other people to tell me how to mark my Bible, you know. So there it is in there. But adorn in moderation. Adorn is an infinitive of the word cosmeo. An infinitive, and it's a present tense infinitive. It's to be adorning. And the word cosmeo, help me out here. What does that sound like I'm starting to say? Cosmetics. That's where we get the word cosmetics. How about cosmos? Okay, that's the noun form of the word. Cosmos, we use interchangeably with the universe. What does cosmos mean? Help me out, Bear. No, actually, it's not the world. The world is part of the cosmos, but it is not the cosmos. It's order, the idea of an order. A universe has structure to it. Okay, in the general sense, it's organization. It's organized. It's structured. Our solar system is structured. There's a sun, and then around it, there's a planet called Mercury that you wouldn't want to be there. No one there that's living there, and there's no one that's living there, likes sun tanning. Because it's, 800 degrees, or maybe that's Venus. It's too hot to live on Venus, too. But everything is structured. Everything is orderly. Even the idea of the design. You have a proof when you start arguing the existence of God. It's the cosmological arguments, which means that creation appears to have design. Okay? It's like, hey, and we've used the watch illustration, but you can point to anything, and hey, there's an order, there's a structure. There seems to have been some thought applied to this. If the earth was just a little farther away from the sun, all the water would freeze and we would die. And if it was a little closer to the sun, all the water would evaporate and we would die. Isn't evolution amazing? The idea that, all this just happened to happen. Not to mention where it all came from to be able to happen is another whole puzzle. But it's the idea of design. There's an order, there's a structure, there's an orderliness there. And it's translated, this cosmeo, the adorn is translated adorn, but the idea is, if you want to be literal, is to order themselves. To order themselves. Okay, to adorn themselves, to order themselves. And it is the idea of dressing here in the context, dressing, but in idea of according to design. One of the fallacies that is developed in our day is that you can dress any way you want to. But God, as we'll talk about in a little bit, designed it so that dress accomplishes at least two separate functions. Okay? It's not, and neither function, by the way, is to make you comfortable. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Or to make you attractive. Is not one of the functions. Okay? Or to make you popular. You can go on. All of those things. Two functions, and we'll talk about it a little bit, are according to God's design or order. We're to order ourselves. We're to adorn ourselves in a sense of order. Okay? It says adorn themselves. We're talking about, and it addresses women. And folks, women have a problem with this. Ongoing problem with this. And apparently it started, not started, they were having issues with it back in the first century. It's not a modern day problem. Like I said, the United States of America, you could see where they had morality because they had a biblical theology. And as they lost their understanding of God and God's expectations and their understanding of sin, they slid down. Other nations have done that as well. Okay? So we weren't the first ones to understand modesty, and we're not the first country to lose our modesty. But it goes hand in hand with our view of God, our view of sin, and our understanding that what God expects as far as clothing goes. But women are to adorn themselves. The word themselves is kind of a supplied. It's not there. No, it is later on, I guess. It's an emphatic, actually. So you're supposed to take responsibility for yourself. It's toward the end of the line if you're looking in the Greek there. The heatos is the themselves. But the idea, I thought it was there, and I'm looking earlier on. But like I said, it's the word order is quite a bit different in the Greek here. It emphasizes it that way. But the women are to be adorning themselves, an ongoing practice and responsibility for your wardrobe. How you dress is a Christian characteristic. It is not legalism. Okay? Now, I was thinking on this, because a lot of people, as soon as you mention any kind of clothing or standard as far as dress, they mean, well, you're legalistic. Well, number one, they have no idea at that point you understand what legalism means. Because legalism has nothing to do with rules in and of themselves. Okay, otherwise, 55 miles an hour, if that's what the sign says, you can talk to the police officer all you want about him being legalistic, but he's still going to give you a ticket. Why? Because the government has the right to tell you to drive only 55. And God doesn't consider that legalistic either. Legalism is not, and this sounds like your Sunday school class last week, Sean. Legalism is not rules. Legalism is, if I keep this rule, I'll somehow have a better standing before God, or I'll be able to get saved. That's what legalism is. Somehow it changes your position before God. And folks, our salvation is so complete, you can't get any better positionally before God. It is all of grace and nothing to do with what you do. Now, on a conduct level, there's all kinds of rules and regulations. We're going to talk about one that's related to this morning. It talks about this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's not legalism. That's the revelation of God telling you how He expects you to live. That's not legalism. Okay? And people throw that around, and that's a cop-out. That's a failure to think. That's a casting aside of the Word of God. And our culture, our conservative circles have used that and beat this to death, so anyone is afraid to bring it up. Except the weird church on the north side of Des Moines. That is not legalism. You don't get any closer to God in your standing, or it's not part of your salvation by doing this. But the way you dress is a characteristic of someone who claims to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as you will see in this passage. It indicates where you are in your understanding of the Word of God. It indicates where you are in your understanding of God Himself and His holiness. It indicates where you are in your understanding of fallen mankind and his sinful nature. And it's an understanding of how God expects you to reflect His purity and holiness, not draw attention to yourself and encourage other people to lust after you. Okay? So adorn themselves to order themselves, and it actually, literally, it's likewise also women in garment, modest, with propriety and moderation to be adorning themselves. That's literally right there what it's saying. So the order is, I studied it in a different order, so that's why I'm a little confused here. Let's jump to apparel first. The word apparel is singular. And it's only used once in the Bible. So it makes it a little tougher. And it's not the normal word for clothing. It actually is a garment. If you think of it that way, it's not a generic clothing. You see that word a little later in verse 10 when it talks about costly array or costly clothing, something like that. It's a specific garment. And I'm looking it up, and I don't know, I look at several different Greek dictionaries, and it's like, it's katabole. Katabole, which means nothing to me either, okay? So I look it up, and katabole is a letting down, they say. And it's used in a verb form, katabello, as to quiet down the crowd. And it's like, well, I still don't get it at all, you know, because it's the idea of a letting down, a clothing to let down, okay, is the idea. So I thought, well, that doesn't help me at all, and none of the dictionaries really agreed or did it just there. And again, it's a lot more specific, but bole is specifically an outer robe. It's used over and over, and it's not just a gender specific. When the son that rebelled had come back, remember he said, kill the fatted calf and bring him a robe. It's like a long flowing robe. It's the outer garment. We might call it a coat, but it's a coat that's fully covering. It could even have a train on it, which, you know, dragging that around in a wet day probably wouldn't be the best. Okay, now, so it's like, okay, so it is more directly related to clothing. Okay, and then kata, Sean or Randy? I mean, there's lots of meanings. It's a preposition, so it can mean a gazillion things, if not a gazillion and a half. Down from, according to, against. You can be kata, against something. And it can even mean more similar to like a in or by. But the best I can figure, okay, is kata, as it's used here, is if bole is your outer garment, kata, and whether you think of it as the garment against me or inside, or whatever, it seems to be your inner garment, not counting your coat kind of idea. Okay, does that make sense? It's what you wear after you get in from the weather. Okay, kind of idea. Your normal everyday garb. Okay? It's the inner robe, not the outer one, if you think of it that way. So it's your daily garment. Your inside garment, or it's not your outside coat that it's talking about here specifically. Not that it makes a huge deal, but it does more indicate a different kind of style of clothing than we wear. But, and again, how much do you relegate to culture is hard to know, because if you start assigning things to culture, then you have to choose what is cultural. Okay? All of a sudden, you are deciding what applies from the Word of God and what doesn't apply from the Word of God. Okay? But it kind of assumes it's a long, flowing piece of clothing. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves, and then the word in a modest garment, in a modest inner robe, if you can say it that way. And the word modest there is the same word, only it's an adjectival format, of the word adorn. So it's to order themselves in an orderly garment, if you will, to design themselves in a garment according to design. In other words, you're working with, as I understand this, you are working within God's system, not making up your own when it comes to clothing. Does that make sense? You are living according to design as opposed to making up your own design. It's kind of a harder thought to get a hold of. It's not just structuring yourself. It's structuring yourself according to what is considered order. And who establishes order? God establishes order. We do not, ultimately. We do not determine what is orderly. We understand what God has said is orderly, and we follow that design. It's interesting. The word is used in the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3:2, and it's kosmios. And the idea, King James and New King James, of good behavior. And it's like, what does that mean? But it's orderly, living according to design. There's a structure to his life. And again, who determines structure? God determines structure. Even from the very beginning in Genesis. One of the things that jumps out to me in Genesis 1 is God is structuring and organizing and setting things out. It is God who establishes the boundaries of the firmament and the land, the water and the land. The stipulations, if you will, are for the animals and the plants and all of that. He's the one who determined what the order was. He puts the stars in space. He tells there's light for day and darkness for night and all of that. It's his established order. And you see that concept reflected elsewhere, that it's not our responsibility to decide what is orderly. Our job is to decide what God has determined is orderly. So when we talk of modest apparel, it's not nearly as subjective as you may think. Modesty is modesty. Modesty is not defined by era. In other words, something that's immodest in one culture isn't honestly immodest in another culture if it was truly immodest. Modesty is not defined by fad or style. You know, it's out of style now, so therefore it's in style, so now it's no longer immodest. And it's not determined by us. Modesty is determined by modesty, whether it's modest or not. I know that sounds like I'm just talking in a big circle, isn't it? Are you there? Are you with me? You can't be, because I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just in a big circle here. But I'm saying modesty is objective, not subjective, ultimately, if it's truly immodest. Now, there might be fads, but then that's a faddish in style or out of style. That's a determination in and of itself, like the leisure suits are out of style. And all God's people said, you know what I'm saying? Those are out of style, but that is not a modesty thing. It's a style issue more than anything else. But modesty is determined by what God says, and he goes on to explain this here. How is God designed the world? How has God designed the way we live? Okay. He gives two modifiers here. Propriety. This is the word that probably flushes the concept that this only has to do with jewelry down the drain. Modesty is more than just how big a earrings you have or how flashy your clothes are, though we'll get to that in a moment too. Modesty has to do with this word here. Propriety means what? In English, it probably doesn't mean that nearly as much. It means something probably stronger in the Greek. What is, if it's something according to propriety? Appropriateness, maybe? Something that's fitting? You know, fits the occasion? The word here is, and I'm looking at it's Randy, you need to borrow your glasses. Eidos, Aidous. For the teenagers that read the Greek there too. And it means shame. Or shamefulness. And it can be translated modesty too. But it's the idea that there is to be shame involved, taken into consideration when you dress. There are shameful ways to dress. There are ways that we dress that should cause us to be shameful, if that makes sense. It should bring shame to us. It's like, I don't know if anyone here, but there's probably situations, hopefully there are, that if people saw you, you would immediately cover up and run for cover. Okay? And I'm not going to say any more than that. I don't need to. That's a good thing. Why is that? There's a built-in sense of shame that is to be observed. Remember Adam and Eve when they sinned. Before they sinned, they were naked and they weren't aware of it. Why? Because there was no sin. There was no sense of shame because there didn't need to be. But once sin came in, shame came in, and then they ran and hid for cover and made themselves clothing of what? Yeah, leaves. I think I'd be ashamed to be in leaves even. Okay. That was the style of the day, though. Everyone was wearing it. Okay, at the moment, anyway. Okay, but there's a shamefulness that we need to understand is appropriate. It's wrong to show your body. It's not right to show... It's not something you're proud of to be audacious, to walk around and be revealing your nakedness. And there's different levels of that we'll talk about. There needs to be a shamefacedness. There needs to be an idea that there is an appropriate and inappropriate way to dress. There is a sensual way to dress, if you will. There's a revealing way to dress that is inappropriate. And in our culture, in our church culture, in our conservative church cultures, we have lost that understanding. And it isn't just the idea of, well, I'm glad I wore a dress today. Because again, there's more to it than just the type of clothing you wear. Anyone ever heard of an immodest dress before? I had the privilege of being in a church that I really grew in, believe it or not, down south. But it was a legalistic church. And there were two main sins. And they're not probably what you would have thought of, maybe. But one was what version of the Bible you used. That was the fundamental of the faith. You couldn't, unless you were using that version of the Bible, there was no way you could be right with God. And the other was women couldn't wear slacks. And that was a rule. I mean, they would basically say, and I'm saying this is what legalism is, if you're wearing slacks, you're not saved and you're going to hell. One lady was approached, and we weren't a part of this, understand. One lady was approached, her little baby girl, newborn baby girl, was in a little, what do you call it, a bodysuit, jumper, what do you call those? You know, it's all in one. Onesie, that's what I mean. I'm new to the kid thing, you know. But the idea, and she was told that her baby was going to hell. That's legalism. And legalism, by the way, is wickedness. It's adding things that shouldn't be there. But understand this, that they picked those two things to be the wrong things. And by the way, neither one is legitimate from Scripture. You can't find either one of those. Okay? But it's amazing because the women avoided wearing the slacks then. But they didn't get it that you could be just as immodest wearing a dress. went over their head, okay? Because modesty is not defined by just a strict style. It's defined by many other things as well. Because if the dress is not covering you, hiding you, it's immodest. It isn't right just because it's a dress, for example. Okay? So propriety means what then? The short form, shame. So you might want to put that next to there. And then the next word is moderation. It's orderliness. It's the word cosmos. Remember we said adorn and moderation are from the same root word. Adorn is cosmane, and I'm sorry, the moderation one is wrong. I got that wrong. Randy probably caught that, and Sean. I studied this so much I'm getting confused. I didn't study it in English, and that goofs me up. Adorn is the same as modest. I told you wrong. And if I would have read the English out loud to myself, I would have caught it. Adorn and modest. Modest apparel. Cosmio is modest. Cosmane is adorn. One's an adjective, and the other's an infinitive, a verbal form. Moderation is this. So frosthenes. It's only used a couple times too, which is amazing. Most of these words are not used very much. So I told you something wrong here, but the modest apparel, we got it right in the list here, but it's the wrong word in the upper. I told you it's the adorn and modest are together, but moderation is sophrones. We get like if you're a sophomore, the soft part, you know, you're the wise part, and the sophomore, it's sophomoron. It's a wise fool. It's two Greek words kind of melded together. So you're kind of in the middle between being smart and not. Okay, and sophrosunes is moderation. And I'm going to have to stop there today. I'll give you just a summary word for that for now, though. I use the word sensible. Or you could use the word discreet or discerning. Sensible, discreet, or discerning on that one. I'm going to stop right here for the moment because we got actually quite a bit more to cover. Are there any quick questions that are just egging at you? I haven't really told you a whole lot. I'm laying the foundation to tell you more. Any questions? It's in females in general. It's not limited to adult women here. Agune is a female, as in gender, but there's no age distinction, as in Andre or Aner, Andras. That's adult men. Female is female, as far as the word goes here. And by the way, that probably makes sense. Because what you dress your little girls in when they're little is what they're going to dress when they get big. And modesty is something that's important to train all the way up in. Not just, when they get older, try to get them to be modest. Probably doesn't work too well. So good question. There's no age distinction there. It's simply gender alone there. So, anyone else? Okay, let's stand. We had a perfect week this week. You read your Bible and prayed every day. Okay, how many are going to aim to do that this week? All right, it's like aim to eat. You know, it's like, yeah, I really need to eat. I'm going to eat. I'm going to make sure that I eat because it's that important. So let's work on that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your truth. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to communicate well on this. It's kind of tedious and actually harder to grasp, it has been for me anyway, to what it's all there. I pray that we would not be discouraged by that. Help us to consider your word and understand what you would have for us. I pray, Lord, that you would use our fellowship time to build up one another, and also, Lord, our Sunday school time to teach us further. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start at 5 after again. Thank you. Sorry for rattling on so long.